If you have a song book, be turning to 347. That'll be our song of invitation. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And we're glad to have our own visitors here. Today and next Sunday, the elders will be bringing God's word to you and trying to encourage us all. And that's what my goal is today. So I'll kind of get right to it. You can see this. What this is what is on our attendance roll, approximately. And what I did is I took an average of that 180 and I broke it down for the year of 2015. And what we have here is this first column is the attendance average for the year of this number for Bible class. And that's the attendance average for AM. And that's the attendance average for PM service on Sunday. If you look at the red, this is of this number, 180. That's the number of that number on average for the year that does not show up for Bible class out of our congregation that's on our roll. Worship service, AM, 47, and then PM, you have an average of 78. If we're honest with ourselves and we look at this, we'll see where we as individuals fit on this chart. I've tried to make this as simple as I know how to make it. I'm going to be as honest with you as I can. Our goal as elders and as you're as members, and our goal as Christians and family is to edify one another, to help each one of us to grow spiritually and become more spiritual mature. And that's kind of what my lesson is this morning. It's become more spiritually mature. And I'm going to work my way to get there, but I have a few things that I want to talk about before I get into the lesson. I realize, first of all, in the red, some of these people are people that are sick, shut-ins, people at work, and that kind of stuff, but that's a small percentage of that number. But what I'm not going to do is dwell on 2015. What I'm going to dwell on today is the good points that I can bring out of this. If you look at this 180, that number has grown. If you look at this 104, that number has grown. And why is those numbers growing? It's because we're being more active. And I have a list of things that I'm going to go through before I get into the lesson, of things that I think we all need to be aware of. Some of it you already are aware of. There's more personal work going on. More Bible studies are happening. We started a new convert class the end of last year. We have more visitations. Some of the ladies, Lorraine, they go and visit the shut-ins. They have Bible classes with these people. The kids' class in the back that we started a year or so ago. What does that mean? That means that our parents are more involved with our kids, and they're bringing their kids here to be more active in God's Word. Last year we started a theme, a memory verses for the year. Last year it was on the heart. This year is on I Will Follow Jesus. All of this that we've done will help us to grow more spiritually if we're involved in this. We have more class subjects this year. There's more people teaching because we're having more subjects. So there's more people involved. Sunday night visitation. If you're one that can't go visiting other people, you need to be part of this so you can put your expressions on a card or a letter to these people that are sick and can't be here. There's some improvements that we're going to do on the webpage. We're going to actually introduce an intro video on this thing. We're getting high tech now, okay? There's more Bible reading plans on there. You can take your choice of which Bible plan reading that you want to do. Question and answer, it's on there. We're going to get that kicked off. Also, the other things that are going on, the new directories are on the little white table in the back. We run out of paper, but we're going to make some more, but be sure you get one of them. They're not like the old ones. I've already had some people bring it to my attention that you can't add to it. Well, just slide it in there, and every year we're going to make a new batch of them, so that'll help solve some of that. Something we started today is this little bulletin. There's a little on that middle post in the back. There's a little hanger that has these in there. We handed them out. The preachers are going to put some kind, or who we're going to put an article in the front of it, and then you have, if whoever's preaching wants to have some kind of where you can take notes. And in the back, it's going to have all the information, and we have some people that's going to fill this information. So this is a good thing. So be sure when you're coming in, you pick one up, and you got announcements on the back, and you got an article in the front, and you got a place to take notes. I want to thank some people, not individually, but efforts that are going on. There's the one that's taking care of the directory now, and Dorinda's going to help with this little handout with it we're doing do. I want to thank the people that helped get the Bible class material together, and they put it all together ready for the teachers. All they got to do is go back here and pick up this box and start getting ready, and that's a great thing. There's people doing that, and I want to thank the people that keep up the building on the inside and on the outside and that kind of stuff. The deacons, they're working hard. They're maintaining order and getting the prayers and song leaders and people to wait on the table. And all the ones that go unnoticed, we want to thank you for that work that you do. Now, when the elders come up, our goal is to talk to you about our future goals. I've tried to make my plan this morning, my lesson this morning. I'm injecting a lot of plans, goals that we should, and you can pick which one you want, pick all of them, but don't pick one that's just not reachable. Pick a goal and work on it. And you'll see these goals as we go through them. But our future goal really is kind of short. Teach God's Word. We want to improve our spiritual maturity, which is what our lesson is going to be on this morning. We want to become more like Jesus in our character and our personality. And as families, we need to see who is stumbling. We can look up here. Who might be stumbling and what can we do to help them, keep them from falling short of the goal. So as we go through this lesson this morning, be honest with yourself and find the things that you're weak in and make them your goal for 2016. So I want to start off the lesson this morning. It's becoming a Christian. When you became a Christian, what were you? You became a new Christian. You became a new convert. So what is a new convert? It is someone that has converted or changed their nature, their purpose, or their function to another way. It could be from good to bad or from bad to good. It could be a person that lives their life for Jesus, or it could be somebody that does not live their life for Jesus. Either way, they've converted from one way to another. So when this conversion takes place, you became a new convert or a new Christian because you're following Christ and you're wanting to be like Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts 8. Acts 8, verses 30 through 38. And this is where Christ is preached to the Ethiopian. I may have to put my glasses on here. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation and justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized him. All right, let's back up a little bit to Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 42. And it reads, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." These people became new Christians. They heard the words of God. They believed what they heard, and they confessed their sins and was baptized. Did these people receive God's word in some deep spiritual way, or was it simple? Just taught Jesus. Were they taught milk, something easy to digest, or was it meat, something a grown-up or more mature person could handle? So what is this milk and meat concept? Well, in Hebrews 5, verses 12 and 14, it's talking about older Christians, and it reads, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by a constant practice to distinguish good from evil." All right, when we evaluate ourselves, what kind of teaching do we need? This is where you need to be honest with yourself. What do you really need? Are we needing milk? Do we need the standard rules of Christianity? Or are you ready for meat? So can you tell by this chart who might need milk and who might need meat? Some people might need to go back to the basic teaching. So here's Paul's explanation on milk and meat. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it clarifies Paul's meaning. The difference between meat and milk is the difference in one's motivation for obedience to God. The new Christian is motivated toward obedience with milk, and the mature Christian is motivated toward obedience with meat. This is shown by Paul's statement that he hoped to address the Corinthians as spiritual. But he couldn't because they were still worldly in chapter 3. The church was still plagued with several areas of sin, sexual immorality, in chapter 5. Division over loyalty to the apostles. Lawsuits in chapter 6. Improper behavior in worship, including drunkenness in chapter 11. Subversion of authority also in chapter 11. and spiritual pride in chapter 5, verse 6. Paul's explanation is further amplified by his approach to the Corinthian church. He had hoped to give them meat, but since they were worldly, he first had to give them milk. For instance, in regard to sexual immorality, he gave them a specific list of forbidden practices. In chapter 5, it talks about fornication, adulterers, prostitutes, homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of God. Paul didn't like addressing the Corinthians in this manner because these commands were milk and for baby Christians. Instead, he wanted to address them with something more spiritual. Something offered them meat. For example, if your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, and honor God with your body. This is meat. Not a simple command, but a principle for Christians to live by. But a baby Christian who hears, honor God with your body, has no boundaries to define this principle. It's hard to understand without the milk first, so the rules must come first. There was a boy who fell out of his bed, and his father asked him, he says, "Why did you fall out of your bed?" He said, "Well, I was too close to the getting in place." Well, when we become Christians, we're at this getting in place. We are receiving milk. We're receiving instructions. And something we can digest, something that will help us to grow. So no matter how long you've been a Christian, you still might be too close to the getting in place. You haven't grown spiritually in knowledge. And without that knowledge to change your life to be like Jesus, you're not spiritually mature. All right, we might need to remember that to some of you, material in classes and in sermon, it might seem like milk. And to some of these sermons and classes that we're in might seem like meat. And we got to be careful of this because we might lose Christians because they're not ready for this. They're not ready for meat. And we might feed them that too early. And what does that do? Well, first of all, I want to say, if you look at this chart, you can see who might still be in the too close to the getting in place. But if we feed them meat too early, it affects their foundation. So anyone still drinking milk is not growing and will ever remain unskillful in the word of righteousness. And by remaining immature, they will not be able to distinguish good from evil or sound biblical doctrine for false teaching. Regular, consistent Bible study gives a spiritual discernment and the ability to distinguish the true biblical teaching from those that are false. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Who are untaught of the scriptures can take text out of context to create a pretext and a false one at that. One way to avoid this is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord, which means in John chapter 1, we need to study so that we can rightly divide and make true judgments. What the context means and be ready to read in reading difficult verses. So how many times do we hear someone say, "Well, somewhere the Bible says this," and it's not even in the context of what it was written. They're not able to rightly divide what is right and wrong. In Colossians 1, verses 9 through 10. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good and work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what I love about Paul's passion is that he's a praying man. He's praying for the Colossians. He didn't stop praying for the church. So what did he ask for? He prayed for them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. So we're now Christians and we're starting to gain knowledge that will help in our forming our spiritual foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3 in verses 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus says that life is a process of building. If we're going to stand the test of time and is able to weather the storms, it must be built on a solid foundation. Jesus Christ is that foundation, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. In addition to a good foundation, quality material, ingredients, and workmanship must go into the building of a good life. There are children today that can't read. We blame it on the school system. But it's a parent's responsibility to make sure they get a good start, to build a strong foundation, to grow and to learn on. If you're a parent raising children and you find that yourself, that you're maybe in this red, there's a good chance your children will follow you, will follow your lead. We got to build a good foundation. And it's time to build or improve your spiritual foundation. So let's look at Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall. But it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." So there's some points of resemblance here. They both heard what Jesus was saying. Both saw the necessity to build a house. They both built a house. And perhaps they both were secure in the house that they built. But here's where they differed. Their characters were different. One was wise, the other one was foolish. They differed in their practice. One heard the saying of Jesus and did it. The other one heard the words of Jesus and didn't do it. They were different, especially in the foundation of which they built. One was on rock and one was on sand. Nothing can make up for a defective foundation. Their houses may look alike, but the final results differed. One stood and the other one fell. So we look at ourselves and how strong is our foundation. We have to have a good foundation. This is something where we get into trouble thinking that our foundation is great and we're deceiving ourselves. No matter how long we've been a Christian, and sometimes our foundation is not as strong as we think it is. So now that we're a Christian, we have started building a good foundation, but now it's time to start the race, the battle, get ready for the final exam. So let's begin the race in 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 24. We'll start in verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. That's when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is saying as we as individuals run to win, live our lives for an imperishable crown. Let's begin the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This is an unseen battle that you and I are engaged in every single day. A conflict, a fight for your heart and your mind. And living the Christian life is one of the hardest things you will ever attempt to do. It's difficult to get yourself to church. It's difficult sometimes to open your Bible and read and study. It's difficult some days just spend quality time in prayer. This is saying put on the armor, not just the knee pads. We need to wake up. We need to be strong. If you want to survive in this fight to the end, you must get into the training. So let's prepare for the final exam. Imagine taking a class for the whole year. You never had homework. You never had quizzes. Never took a test. Nothing was required of you until the final. And then your entire grade was based on that final test. The whole year's worth of effort based on just one grade. How would we know if we're learning? What if we thought that we understood something, but we didn't? You wouldn't find out until it was too late to do anything about it. So those homework assignments, those quizzes, those tests, they have a purpose. So all the trials and the tests of our lives have a purpose. They provide us early feedback so we know how well we're doing. And it's given us the time to make course corrections in advance, if necessary. It's amazing people fail an open book test. We're tested all through this life, and in all this adversity that we have, the answers are right in front of us. It tells us how to live and handle troubles in life if we just open our Bibles. So everything so far leads up to our lesson. So here's the lesson. So, you know, grow your spiritual maturity. I wanted to set the stage for this. So now what? Now that you're a new Christian, you have been a Christian for a long time, at what level do you think your spiritual maturity is? Spiritual maturity is achieved through becoming more like Jesus Christ. Every Christian begins the process of spiritual growth with the intent to become spiritual mature. According to the Apostle Paul, it's an ongoing process, will never end in this life, in Philippians 3 in verse 12 through 14. Now I'll read that. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling, call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. This is the way of thinking. And if anything that you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. He's saying he forgets the past, reaches for the goal, and runs the whole race. Runs it hard toward the finish line. Paul is saying that if we're not thinking like this, this is when we are not spiritually mature. Christian maturity requires a radical reordering of one's priorities, changing over from pleasing self to pleasing God and learning to obey God. The key to maturity is consistency, perseverance in doing those things which we know will bring us closer to God. Being effective and fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus is the essence of spiritual maturity. So accumulating knowledge. Sometimes we equate spiritual maturity with what we know. But that isn't the key. Knowledge alone is not the issue. The issue is what you do with what you know. There are people on this chart here that have great knowledge of God's Word, but are they spiritually mature? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, and when a believer becomes prideful, spiritual growth is immediately set back. Having a knowledge of facts cannot equate with spiritual maturity. Only when our knowledge conforms us to the image of Christ does our knowledge relate to our maturity and growth. Some people think that if they've been active in the church, that they have grown spiritually. In other words, if you're busy enough, you must be spiritual. But the Pharisees were busy in religion, and no one was further from the truth than they were. In Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23, Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works?' And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me." Being busy doesn't even qualify someone for salvation, let alone spiritual maturity or growth. To have the personality and the character of Jesus, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, it talks about virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Patience is a state of endurance under difficult circumstances, without complaint, control, the loss of temper, showing anger, irritation, brotherly kindness. Galatians 6 and 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith." And charity and love. Every believer runs his own race. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, each of us is enabled to be a winner. Paul exhorts us to run in such a way as to get the prize. And to do this, we must be set aside anything that might hinder us from living and teaching the gospel of Christ. The writer of Hebrews echoes the words of Paul, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." If you want a goal for 2016, let's get away from the getting in place and grow in knowledge and build a great foundation. Let's take the knowledge we learn and apply it to be spiritually mature, more like Christ. Let's not stop training and competing in the race for the penalty for stopping short is severe. So here's my last thought. Who on this chart is running in such a way as to get the prize? And who might be penalized for stopping short? If we're trying to follow Jesus and be like Him, then we will focus on the goal and help each other to finish the race. In Philippians 3, verses 14 and 15, It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. That's the lesson I have for you today. And what I want to do is, I want you to look at this chart. We need to get up, we need to get busy, we need to become more spiritually mature. We need to help those that need help. I want to tell you that as elders, it's not whether this number here becomes huge. It's this right here, is we want to help all these people. We want them to grow in knowledge. That's why we try to build our class curriculums. We're adding more stuff to teach. We're trying to figure out what this congregation needs to hear. That is what our goal is. It doesn't matter if there's 10 people or 200 people. But whatever that number is, it's our responsibility to help them grow spiritually, and help them to become more mature in God's Word. So with all that said, I hope there were some things in there that you can pick one and make a goal for yourself or all of them. But if there's anyone here today that needs our help, needs our prayers, now when we lead to the invitation song, it'll be the time to come forward. And if you're not a Christian, if you want to come forward at this time, let's do that while we stand and sing.